We've been talking about faith. And why are we talking about faith? Because we're studying Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And we're going through it by letter, word by word. And in Hebrews 12, 2, well, in Hebrews 12, 1, both, we find, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. In verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. You'll notice the word "our" is in italics, but he also is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the author, the originator of faith. He's the perfecter of faith. Anything you want to say about faith, he's it. And he's the finisher of faith. And it was highlighted to me through all these epiphanies you get in the middle of the night to look at Hebrews 11, 6. And it says in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, him being God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without the author and finisher of our faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that occasionally seek him. Doesn't say that, huh? You don't have that version of the Bible? It says diligently. You know how many times you find the word diligently in the Bible? 37. I'm sorry, but you know, these things just come to me. 37 is the number that points to the Word of God. You know that. I mean, you might not know that, but you do now. The Word of God is another name for Jesus. Look at Revelation 19:13. Now, we have been talking about this, and we'll continue on, and want to say some things about faith here this morning beyond what we've just said. And but the word diligently is found 37 times in the Bible. Look it up, and you'll find that's true. Points to the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus. You want to diligently seek him? Seek this. That's where you find the Word of God. We find four times in Scripture the phrase, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2:4, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. So how many times are we supposed to be told something before we actually get it? The just shall live by faith. Okay, I think once it should be sufficient, but four times should be more than sufficient. And we pointed out how Hebrews 11:1 defines faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And where does faith come from? Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus again. So faith cometh by hearing about the author and finisher of faith. The Word of God expounds unto us Jesus, who is the author and finisher of faith. He's the authority on faith. He's the authority of faith. And furthermore, we mentioned last week in closing that Jesus is presently seated upon the throne of authority on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And that's noted in Hebrews 1:3 and some plenty of other scriptures. Interestingly, and we noted this last week also, the word authority is found 37 times in the Word of God. The 37 was the number that has to do with the Word of God. Interesting, isn't it? And the phrase, His Word, is found 37 times in Scripture. His Word often references the Word of God. The phrase, by faith, is found also 37 times in Scripture. Now, you would think there was a ton of things that are found exactly 37 times, but it took a while to come up with these. And what does that mean? It all points to the Word of God, to Jesus. So, since the just shall live by faith, and since faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and since the Word of God is another name of Jesus, who also is the author and finisher of faith, the authority on faith, and the authority of faith, don't you see how we too can be a full overcomer? We need to trust in Him. And David of Old Testament times wrote this in Psalms 56:4. In God I will praise His word. How you doing? In God I have put my trust. Trust is an Old Testament word for what? Faith, yeah. Some of you have been paying attention, okay. We find in Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. The word trusteth is the Old Testament for the word faith. So, Galatians 2:20, turn there and we'll read this in a second. We find that the just shall live by faith. And Galatians 2:20 adds further substance to this statement, where we read, I am crucified with Christ. The word crucified is found 37 times in Scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. As believers, do we not have living within us, each of us, Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of faith, the authority of faith? And the answer we know is obviously yes, that's true. So with our eyes of faith, we need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who was crucified and died for our sins according to the Scriptures, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:3. Now, we could read Galatians 2:20 like this. I am crucified with Christ, the author and finisher of faith. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ, the author and finisher of faith, liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the author and finisher of faith, who loved me and gave himself for me. Go to Hebrews 11:3 for a second, and we find there this statement. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The Word of God is Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So, in light of what we've been studying, let's read it like this. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the author and finisher of faith, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, again we see by his God-given authority, Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, is before all things, and by him all things consist. Turn to Colossians 1, and we'll read this. And you know this. And the more we read it, and the more we hear it, the more it finally sinks in. You know, you've heard of having that aha moment. When does that happen? It's probably not the first time you heard something. It's like 75 times later, you go, ah, I got it now. Colossians 1, 15. And it speaks of Jesus here in Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. So back to Hebrews 11:3 again. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Brother Hill, recall, he used to tell us that Jesus spoke heaven and earth into existence. Jesus is faith. Jesus is the authority of faith. Jesus is the authority on faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of faith, who was in the beginning with God, and he spoke heaven and earth into existence. You've read John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3. It says the very same thing in different words. In the beginning was the Word, but the Word is Jesus. And the Word, Jesus, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. How many of you remember Brother Smith? Yeah, a lot of us do. He was a young prodigy of Brother Copley. He went on and took over the meeting there in Kansas City. If I get off on this, Kevin, you tell me. But he continued with the Bible College, the Grace and Corey Bible College that Brother Copley and Sister Bodie started. In recent years, he went to be with the Lord. He was, as you know, a good Bible student, an excellent Bible teacher, and he had the ability to say things simply. Am I wrong? Anybody want to argue with me? So he could say the same thing I just said in 10 minutes and 2 minutes or 1 minute, you know. He wrote a tract on faith, and he didn't use a few words to write it. Kind of gives us an idea of how complicated the subject of faith can be or how vast it is. But we're talking about Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. How can you describe him in a few words, or just one aspect of him in a few words? You can't. This tract that he wrote on faith can be found in the church website under the heading of More Study Books and Pamphlets. You might have to dig for it, but it's in there. And I'm going to read to you a great deal of the tract here this morning and some other thoughts. But in this tract that Brother Smith wrote on faith, he answers such questions as, what is faith? What does faith do? Where is your faith? Why did you not exercise faith? How do we increase our faith? And what is the culmination of our faith? Those are good questions. Now, I know that some of you might have the tract, but some of you, the rest of you, can look it up and study it. And so Brother Smith, I'm going to quote from him if you'll give me a few minutes here. He noted this, and I'm not reading the whole thing verbatim in the order that it's found, but Brother Smith said this: faith connects us with God and brings into reality the promises of God. Faith is life. By faith we begin, by faith we finish. The just shall live by faith. That's, again, Romans 1:17. And those other scriptures that I gave you this morning. There is power in believing God that perhaps we have not yet discovered to the degree which would be pleasing to God. Because we just read that, didn't we? In Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. I want you to go to Mark 11:22 and 23, because Brother Smith was referencing here some words of Jesus found in these verses, Mark 11:22 and 23. And it says this. He's talking to his disciples, Jesus is, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Brother Smith goes on and notes, in the above quoted scriptures, and also in the succeeding verses, we will note the authority that Jesus gives to faith. According to Mark's record, we read, if we would not doubt but believe, we could say to a mountain, move, and it would. Now, Matthew had the same record, and he quotes from Matthew 17:20 here, and he says, Matthew's record reads, in answer to the apostles' query as to why they could not cure the lunatic, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. That was Matthew 17:20. And then he references a same story found in Luke 17:5-6. And he says, Luke's record reads, and the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, I'm going to read some more from Brother Smith. By these verses, we see that faith is authority. Isn't that one of his titles? Authority. He's found, the word authority is found 37 times in the Word of God. The Word of God is the authority of the Word of God. That's Jesus. Okay, faith does not beg or plead, but commands. Brother Smith notes, faith does not pray, but instead says. He's referencing what he said back there in Mark 11, 22 and 23. He says, note Jesus' exact words. Ye shall say unto this mountain. Ye shall say unto this mountain. not pray. Thus, faith is not a supplicant, but it is a sovereign. Even as God is sovereign, faith demands obedience and receives it. You think he wrote this tract in one afternoon? I don't think so. There's a lot of years of study behind this. Faith takes the throne, and everything else becomes its subject. Every need, every situation becomes subjects to faith's command. To have the faith of God means to be like God in the matter of authority. Jesus did not tell the disciples to say to the mountain, "Please move, mountain, would you?" They were to command, "Move." Brother Smith then quickly adds, "Of course, we would point out that Jesus is not teaching us to promiscuously command unreasonable subjection. That is not real faith. He is teaching the principle of faith, and he uses the mountain and the tree to illustrate his point. He had only the day before cursed the fig tree, and the disciples marveled that it had dried up so quickly from the roots upward. Faith has authority, and nothing can withstand its command. Prayer is the place of communion with God, where we learn his will and receive strength to exercise faith. Faith is really the result of prayer." Brother Smith then asks, "What does faith do?" Faith is always active. It claims not only blessing upon the one who has faith, but it gives that one the power to bless. We may seek a blessing from our Father, but faith goes further and demands blessing for others. We may hear of a needy saint, and immediately faith springs to action, and we say, "Bless him." He is blessed, though hundreds of miles may separate the two. Faith knows no distance. Faith knows no impossibility. All things are possible to him that believeth. There he's quoting Mark 9:23. Now, Brother Smith wisely writes next, "Lest someone might misunderstand and think we were advocating a complete sovereignty within ourselves and independence of God, we say, faith bows to the will of God. Faith is the execution of God's will. We could never exercise faith apart from what God desires. If there is a definite need, we have the blessed privilege and the authority to demand the answer." An example of this is found in Luke 8:22-25. You want to turn there and look. And here we find Jesus and his disciples had boarded a ship and were crossing a lake. Jesus fell asleep. And when a storm arose and they were in jeopardy of drowning, they wakened Jesus by fairly exclaiming, "We perish, we perish." The end. No, that's not what it says. That wasn't what was going to happen. Jesus rose and rebuked the winds and waves, and there was a calm. And note his words to them. "Where is your faith?" Jesus did not still the waves by his power as God. This fact is illustrated in his sleeping, showing he was human as his disciples were. He rebuked the winds and waves by the faith of God and he had to exercise the sovereignty of faith, not his sovereignty as God. Then he asked him, where is your faith? In other words, why did you not exercise faith? The disciples could have commanded the winds and waves to cease, even as Jesus did. This occasion was a wonderful opportunity for the disciples to use their God-given faith. They did not know the power that lay within their hearts. Jesus had to fall asleep. The winds had to rise to bring forth the faith. God used these things to illustrate the authority of faith. Then, if a torrent rises against us today and it seems as though Jesus is sleeping, that is the opportunity for us to exercise our faith. Command the winds to cease. Let faith ascend the throne and put all ills in subjection. They might have perished had not faith stepped on the scene in the person of Jesus. Now for a minute, I'm going to leave quoting from Brother Smith's tract, but I want to note that Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, taught his disciples well on this subject of faith. And after his death and resurrection, I want you to turn to Acts 3. And after they received the promised gift of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, we read a story in Acts 3, how Peter, now full of the Holy Ghost, exercised his faith. He did learn something. And if Peter could learn something, we can learn something too, can't we? Acts 3:1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now I want you to remember what we just read from Brother Smith's tract. Faith demands obedience and receives it. Faith takes the throne and everything else becomes its subject. Every need, every situation becomes subject to faith's command. To have the faith of God means to be like God in the matter of authority. This is the kind of faith Peter exercised here in Acts 3:6 when he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him, verse 7, by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now, this miracle prompted a sermon. I think it had prompted a couple of them, but it prompted one right then and there. And this sermon is recorded in the remaining verses of Acts 3. And it caused the disciples to be called before the Jewish Sanhedrin there in Acts 4, verses 1 through 22. But stay there in Acts 3. In his Holy Ghost-inspired sermon, Peter said this starting in Acts 3:13. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, and when he was determined to let him go, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Think about it like this in the light of what we've been studying in Hebrews 12, 2. Peter was saying, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the author and finisher of faith, through faith in his name hath made this man strong. Now the phrase, through faith, which is found here in Acts 3:6, which we just read, and is found there for the first time in Scripture, it is repeated, the phrase, through faith, is repeated 15 times in Scripture. 15, you all know this, is the number of rest. Think you can rest through faith? We can rest assured that the author and finisher of our faith will honor our requests made in faith, believing in the authority of Jesus' name under the will of God. Go over to Acts 4. Here we read of the Sanhedrin making an inquiry of the apostles as to this miracle. And starting in Acts 4:7, we read this. And when they, the Sanhedrin, had set the apostles in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, and by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. Jesus, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, again, recall what Brother Smith wrote. Faith takes the throne and everything else becomes its subject. Every need, every situation becomes subject to faith's command. To have the faith of God means to be like God in the matter of authority. Okay, Acts 3 and 4, those chapters, proves that Jesus' disciples learned from the author and finisher of faith his lessons on faith, and they learned it real well. Now, go to Acts 5. We have time for this one, I think. Acts 5, verses 12 through 16, further illustrates this very same point. Acts 5:12, it says, and by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest there's no man joined himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the very least the shadow of who? Peter? Passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about into Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. How were all of these healed? And Peter already answered this question. in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and through faith in his name, hath caused all of these to be healed, every one. These incidences also prove Romans 10:17 to be true. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And why do we emphasize that so much? We want to have full overcoming faith, don't we? Okay. And bonus, since we're out of time, the bride of Christ will have this kind of faith. We'll be like him. Think about it.